come and take me to the river and make me whole. It's down with the old and up with the new. The heart reset my life, take two. Oh Lord have mercy on this weary soul.
Welcome to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
Right. Here we are for Go Yard one more time, and welcome every single one of you. We are going to have a great show tonight, and I am Mama Mac, and with me is that famous co-host of mine, Dr. Angel Falzone. Yeah. But in the studio is not just you tonight.
No, we have some guests out
there.
We
have special guests. Yes, in the lobby listening in, it is your number one son. Is it your favorite son?
Oh, I can't have a favorite son, Mama Mac.
Oh, okay. You can't. Yeah.
He's nodding his head, yes.
Yes, it is.
And he's visiting home this week on his leave from the Army, so
All
it's
right.
So nice to have him.
And his girlfriend, Brooke, and they are here in the studio. In fact, you just posted on Facebook a picture of all of us right before the show. So anyway, we're glad to have Anthony with us. What a special young man, and his lovely girlfriend, Brooke. And we've got a great topic tonight, Dr. Angel. We did part one last week, and I think we both walked out of here feeling like we got the message across. Some shows are more difficult than others, and even though this is a really difficult topic, we felt like we were able to communicate the seriousness of it and the fact that there is help for people that are working and struggling with shame in their lives.
Absolutely. And yes, I agree with you. I felt like we really, you know, broke it down and simplified it so that other people can recognize, yes, this is me. This is how I'm feeling, or this is what I'm experiencing.
Exactly. So the title of the series is Overcoming Shame, and this is part two. And last week, if you missed it, you can come right here to this station, tantalk1340.com, go to podcasts, go down to Go Yard, and it will be there. Last week's show, easy to listen to. At the end of each month, our webmaster, Dan, puts everything. This show and the other show we do on Sunday, all that goes on our websites and stays indefinitely. So we have a lot of shows on our GoYard2014.org website, do we not?
Absolutely. We have, oh my goodness, about a year and a half, a little more than that,
right,
of shows. And, you know, they're titled. And so when we are talking about an issue, it may not be where you're at that day. But you know what? Life happens.
Right.
And so go back and use those tools and resources.
I was at a party on Saturday and somebody came up to me and she said, I have been listening to that whole All About Addiction series. And she said, it is really amazing. And that we just did last month in April. So that's a great series, four shows. So we encourage people to go listen to it. It's on the podcast page here under Go Yard. And also the addiction shows are actually already up on our website, which is goyard2014.org. If you want to participate in the show tonight, you can do that. And all you have to do is call 727-441-3000. And our lovely and handsome engineer Pete in there in the control room tonight will pass your call along to us.
Lovely and handsome.
Lovely and handsome.
I'll take that.
You
that's
like
nice.
That description?
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, isn't it?
No, that's all right, I guess.
But you're a great guy. And
thank you. I appreciate that.
We love our engineers here. And so we want people to participate. You can also text us straight to my phone, 727-888-4171, during the show or anytime, 24/7, 365. One more time, that number is 727-888-4171. That's our Google Voice text number. And every weekend, our shows are on StarcomRadioNetwork.com at noon Eastern, Saturday and Sunday. StarcomRadioNetwork.com. Four words. So you can catch that noon Eastern, Saturday and Sunday. So we have a lot of ways that people can catch these shows, right, Doctor?
Yes, we do. So there's no excuses.
Our website, live, Starcom Radio Network, the podcast page here. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities for people to be able to hear our shows. All right, let's talk about shame, because it'd be shameful if we didn't talk about it.
It would be.
So let's do that. All right. So can you just give us a little definition from last week of what we're talking about shame and why maybe this is a topic that is not discussed very much?
Well, you know, shame is that painful emotion that's caused by our consciousness of guilt, shortcomings, or impropriety. It's kind of that disgrace. And so we don't talk about shame because it's an internalizing feeling that really makes us feel bad about ourselves.
So we're probably embarrassed, right?
We can be.
Yeah.
And what happens is the things that we feel are our shortcomings. I know I gave a quite technical definition, but like our shortcomings and the things that we feel that we're not doing correctly become our identity.
Mm-hmm.
And so shame-based is making that event our identity. So I am whatever those negative things are.
And a lot of these things that we feel shame about are probably things that happened to us, not necessarily things we did. It can be both categories, correct?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of individuals walk around internalizing shame,
right,
and they don't even realize that that's what they're experiencing.
Right. And so, you know, we gave some questions, 5 questions last week, and we've got to start the show with these 5 now, because if you missed last week, then at least you've got the basis for how to figure out if some of the emotions and things you feel are shame-based, because a lot of people don't even know that they are, right?
True. It can be really hard to recognize. So some of the flags. Are you highly self-critical?
Okay.
You know, when someone gives you that compliment and they're like, oh, you look nice today. And you're like, oh, well, my hair's a mess, or I'm too heavy. Or are you self-critical?
Okay.
Do you find your mistakes in everything you do?
Right.
That's a flag for being shame-based. Another one, number 2, is do you beat yourself up over your failures?
Okay.
So when you make a mistake or you fail at something, is that all you're thinking about? And you're just constantly self-critical and beating yourself up and brooding over it, and it doesn't leave your mind. You're missing sleep and you just can't seem to move forward.
Right. Yeah, that's the 2nd flag. What's the 3rd one?
The 3rd one is, do you work too much and push too hard without giving yourself time to breathe?
Now, some of our listeners are going, well, how can that have anything to do with shame if I work too much and I don't rest much?
Oh, I know. You know, that's just motivation, Dr. Angel.
Right.
No, it can be a flag for shame. Because individuals who experience this negative feeling that's internal, when they stop moving, they start thinking and feeling those awful feelings. And so they have to keep themselves moving and doing all the time so that they don't have to face this negative shame-based feelings.
Wow. Yes. And so it's so important that we take these flags and look at ourselves and say, hey, yeah, that may be me, and I need to do something about this.
Let's get moving. So number 4 is, you know, do you feel the need to compete, outperform others, move ahead of the pack?
Right.
You know, if you're the person who's playing a game and you're cutthroat and you're taking everyone down, you might have some shame.
We talked about that last week, because a lot of times people play board games or whatever kind of games, basketball, whatever. Some people are very bad losers and throw little temper tantrums. You know, they may be 30 years old and they're having a temper tantrum on the basketball court. You know, whatever.
True, and that definitely can be a flag that inside there's that shame-based feeling. And just the 5th one is: do you live with shame, or do you have that feeling of I'm not good enough?
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And so these are our flags, and these are things to look at. So those 5, we may repeat them one other time during the show, maybe at the end, but hopefully you wrote them down. Shame-based thinking. There's a lot of people that really their thoughts are just, they're not positive.
They feed the shame cycle.
Right.
And so because shame is an internalized feeling, it's inside of us. It's not something we're talking about. It's something we're trying to hide from the rest of the world.
Right.
So it's inside of us. Our thoughts are really important to keeping shame going or stopping shame.
So it's that tape you play in your head.
It's that tape.
And so often we know our faults. Maybe we don't talk about those faults, but they're that. Those thoughts are about our faults are going over and over, right?
True. So some of those thoughts might be, I'm defective.
Right.
You know, something's wrong with me. I'm a mistake. I'm flawed. I'm broken. I'm damaged goods. Those are commonly what I'll hear in therapy from someone. That's shame-based thinking.
Right. And so the goal is to direct that person in a more positive route, right, with their thoughts.
Absolutely. Because what we think affects how we feel and affects how well, the choices we make, how we behave. And so it's a cycle that feeds each other.
What do you mean how we behave? Can you kind of give an example of that?
Absolutely. So when we're thinking, you know, I'm defective, we're going to start feeling down, less than, and then our actions, maybe we won't try for that job promotion, or maybe we won't go back to school because we feel like we don't deserve it, or we're not good enough, or I can't do it. So why try? So maybe we give up too quickly. And so thoughts affects feelings, affects behaviors and actions. And that's a known cycle. It's all through psychology. It's very well documented. In fact, there's a whole theory of psychology that follows around that. And it's called cognitive behavioral therapy, which is one every therapist is trained to use because it's a powerful cycle.
So the cycle basically is what you're thinking about, you become. Is that what I hear you saying?
No, there's a Bible verse about that. As a man thinketh, he becomes.
That's exactly right. There is. Yes. So is he. As a man thinketh, so is he. That's right. And so often we aren't even aware. People out there listening tonight may be going, wait a minute, let me think about this a minute. Is that what I do? Do I constantly dwell on my inadequacies, which a lot of times the people feel inferior, insecure, not worthy of the blessings perhaps that they have in their life?
Absolutely. And so shame-based thinking, what happens is shame is a shackle. It like holds us back.
Okay.
We can't get to where we want to go if we're stuck in shame.
Right.
It's just kind of like, you know, handcuffing our ankle to a pole, and we're trying to go somewhere, and we can't unless we rip this whole pole off and take it with us, and then we'll take shame everywhere we go.
But see, I think a lot of people don't even realize that, Doctor. I think that this is such an important topic because it explains some of the root problems that people have in life, just getting through life and being a success.
Yes. And we can't move forward till we say, oh my goodness, I have shame.
Right.
And we need to deal with that
so that
we can move forward
exactly.
and let it go and move beyond it. Because it's a little more complicated than just saying, you know what, I don't want to have shame anymore, so I'm not going to. It doesn't work that way. It's not that simple.
No. There's work involved, right?
A lot of work involved.
And don't we find in especially the topics we deal with here on Go Yard that every one of these topics seems to involve identifying the problem and then developing a desire to change that in our lives and then setting about to take some steps. And it's a process. All of it, one word, is a process.
It is a process. You know, and we don't develop shame in one day, one night, and one event. Shame is something that happens over a process. And so we have to undo it in another process because it takes time to change the way we think. Because we talked about shame. Shame becomes the glasses that we view everything. So when we are experiencing shame, we see things from that shame view.
Right.
So if I am interpreting my world through a shame view, I'm going to have shame thoughts. I'm going to have shameful feelings. And I'm going to make my actions and behaviors based in that shame modality.
So for that, it's just like losing weight. You know, you may wake up in the one morning with a great determination. I'm losing 25 pounds, okay? And by the next afternoon, you realize, man, I've eaten some things I shouldn't have been eating, whatever. So often people that are trying to lose weight are shaming themselves,
yes,
correct?
Yes.
And they're going, oh, you can't succeed at this. There's no way you can do this. You know, look what you did. You just ate that whole cake or whatever the case may be.
Right. And then they shame themselves in that failure and then they get stuck and lose
motivation. And then they lose their motivation. So what I hear you saying, Doctor, is that this is kind of a moment-by-moment thing of becoming less and less and less shamed-based in our thinking, correct?
Absolutely it is. And so recognizing where your shame-based thoughts are is really important because we got to catch ourselves because we have to start overriding shame-based thoughts with truth.
Okay.
Because shame-based thoughts are not grounded in truth.
They're grounded in what?
They're grounded in lies. They're grounded in misbeliefs and misconceptions.
That could be things that people have said to us. A lot of times, I think, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that a lot of shame-based thinking develops in an early childhood when a parent is constantly saying, you're such a bad boy, or you're never good at anything. You're never gonna get out of sixth grade if you keep this up, or whatever the case may be, right?
And that's where it can start that cycle of accepting shame. And then they start shaming themselves after you've heard it enough.
Right.
You start internalizing that shame yourself.
Wow.
And so the second type of shame-based thinking, the first one was I am a defective. The second one is I am dirty.
Okay.
Now this one I hear a lot from victims of abuse.
Okay.
They kind of have this feeling of perpetual dirtiness, like ugly, unclean, impure, filthy, disgusting, those kinds of thoughts.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that they've been sexually abused, because I've had people who are overweight feel the same shame-based feeling.
Okay.
But that is a shame-based thinking.
Okay. All right. What about those that can't think they can never succeed at anything?
You know what? And that's a more common one. I see that a lot.
I see that too. Oh, man. And just, you just want to light a fire of purpose and passion, which are your two favorite words.
They are my two favorite words.
Purpose
Absolutely.
And passion. Under them, because, you know, we can do, I always just tell my kids as they were growing up, you can become anything you want to become. You know, you can do anything you want to do. It's your call. It's your life. Your call.
Absolutely. And so there is the third base shame based thinking. The third type is I'm incompetent.
Uh-huh.
I'm not good enough. I'm inept. I'm ineffective. I'm useless.
Yes.
And you know, it's amazing how many people feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter what kind of education, training,
really
credentials
doesn't.
They have, these feelings supersede that. And, you know, one of the things I love about my job working in training and developing therapists, as one of the roles I get to do, is I'll hear the young therapists come in and they feel useless and, you know, not competent and they don't feel effective. And my role is to help them replace the false perception
right.
with truth and
right.
watch them. Once they start getting it, watching them grow and develop as individuals is amazing.
Yeah.
I love
absolutely.
That. But a lot of them, when they're coming out of college, they have the, you know, that
incompetence,
early feeling
yeah.
of incompetent.
Can't do it. Yeah.
But so what I'm going to tell you is I'm going to challenge you, if that's what you feel, we got to start replacing that with truth.
Absolutely.
And the truth is, you know, wherever you are, what do you do well? Where are your strengths? You know, we gave that homework assignment last week. We didn't check in with them. You know,
yes,
identifying your strengths
and
your gifts. That
That's
was our
right.
homework assignment last week. And that is where we're going to start finding the truth
right.
to replace these misconceptions and falsities that we are walking around believing about
right.
ourselves.
So, yeah, last week you said, well, let's make a list of strengths and weaknesses. And it's probably hard for people that are struggling with shame.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for them to make a list of their strengths. It's quite easy to make a list of weaknesses, right?
Oh, yeah. Their list of weaknesses can be 5 miles long, and they can give it to you in 30 seconds.
Right.
And if we're struggling to find those strengths, ooh, red flag, you probably have shame in there somewhere.
Okay.
So the fourth type of shame-based thinking is I am unwanted.
Right.
I hear this a lot from people who maybe have been adopted, from people whose parents have divorced,
right.
People who've had really bad relationship breakups, they maybe had, you know, some cheating in there. Those are some of that shame base that can come from that. And so they might feel like small, you know, that they're puny, they're feeble.
Right.
You know,
wow.
unappreciated,
puny.
Uncherished. They
puny.
Just feel unwanted.
Right. Yeah. And all of that, when you see these kinds of attitudes, I am unwanted and I am unloved and I am all of this and puny and feeble. Those were interesting
Which
adjectives.
We'll go
you came
to
up
the
with.
Next one. I am weak.
Oh, I'm weak. Okay. That does go along with puny and feeble.
It does.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's another kind. I am weak. And find those strengths. No, everybody, I don't care who you are. If you are breathing, you have strengths.
Wow. You know, a lot of people grow up, go through life, never identifying strengths with themselves. They are all about, I can't do this. And I think that's why this little series, a couple shows, is so important, because people, if that is you and you're recognizing these traits in yourself right now as we go through these things, this is time to sit down and get a little journal and start writing and start reflecting, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
And your first homework assignment was?
Find your strengths and gifts.
Right. And if you can't find strengths, ask somebody close to you.
Ask someone close to you, because I am sure most of us have somebody that we trust in our life that will be able to rattle off a list for us. And we're like,
yes.
Really?
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. Even your dog might be able to do that. Okay. All right.
Well, if your dog gives you a list, please call me, because right. I would be amazed. Just saying.
There you go. All right.
The next type is I am bad.
I'm bad.
That is definitely something that gets started in early childhood when
yes.
you know, that parent uses, oh, you are bad. You right. know, so they'll feel, you know, evil or awful or dreadful. Like these, I'm just a bad person. I hear that all the time.
Do you really?
And I'm like, really? Tell me how. What makes you a bad person?
Yeah.
You know, well, I didn't go to college like my family wanted, or I didn't do this. Oh, okay.
Right.
That makes you a person who made different choices than what other people expected. What makes you bad? You know, and as I challenge that, they get so frustrated with me, but we get down to it. It's not I'm bad. And
it's that they chose a different path in life,
or,
right?
Right. Or maybe their choice was less than perfect.
Right.
And so I like to challenge this. I like to challenge these misconceptions with people, because the more they try to explain it to me, they lose it
right.
through the process.
Okay.
I'm pitiful. That's another one.
Pitiful.
You know, that's that self-pity, you know, pity
right.
party.
Right.
I'm insignificant. I'm, you know, the Eeyore. You know, nobody loves me. I'm insignificant. Nobody sees me.
Right.
You know, that
yeah.
whole little Eeyore syndrome there.
Exactly. Yeah, Pooh Bear doesn't like that about Eeyore, right?
No,
or Piglet.
Yeah. Eeyore syndrome is not how we want to walk around the world.
No, because, you know, people can be around that only so long. And if you're one of these people that's always trying to walk around in self-pity, feeling sorry for yourself and woe is me, people eventually, they get their belly full of that, don't you think, Doctor?
Yes, they do. And they can get their belly full very, very quickly. And yeah, it can definitely make you lose some of your support system, because people don't want to hear that all the
time.
They
don't want to hear it. And how about the last one, probably, is people feeling like they're worthless, right?
I am nothing. I hear this a lot.
Invisible.
Worthless, invisible, unnoticed, empty, garbage.
Garbage. Wow. Wow.
That's total shame-based.
And, you know, some of you listening to this may think, people really think all that? Absolutely they do. We're talking to Dr. Angel, who is a PhD and licensed mental health counselor. And me being a pastor and minister for way longer than I would even want to say, many, many years, I have heard all of this, and you have too. And the people that are struggling with life, and a lot of it is based in these problems right here.
We talked about it last week. We talked about, you know, root issues, and
yes.
roots are, you know, the things that are underneath all the symptoms we're having. So if you're feeling like your life is less than what, that's the symptom you see on the outside. The
right.
root could be shame. Shame is a root problem. And until we learn to pluck those roots and replace them with healthy roots, it's
Whoa.
Not going to get better.
We're coming back. Don't go anywhere. Call a friend. Have them join you for Go Yard.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Good one.
That was interesting, Engineer Pete. All right. He has creative license in there tonight, doesn't he?
I know. I love yes. What they come up with.
Yes. You're listening to Go Yard with Mama Mac. That's me. That's my other name. And Dr. Angel Falzoni. And she's our resident expert. And we've been doing this show together for a year and a half and loving every single time we get together and do this.
Oh, yes, we do.
We've been friends for a number of years. And that's a good thing, too, because it's nice to just work with you. Because our goal, we have a goal for the show. I mean, it's to really help people face some things in life and make some changes, isn't it?
Absolutely.
We're not doing this just for our health, right?
You know, helping people to get out there and live and hit that home run in life.
That's right.
And to be happy and have their purpose and find their passion and just
exactly
live. Not just
and
exist.
Live joyfully and not just be bogged down with the same problems year after year after year. So, yes, our topics are kind of difficult sometimes. They're pretty intense, like this one. And if you would like to tell a friend about this show, it can be heard again this Saturday and Sunday at 12 noon Eastern on, it's four words, write them down, StarcomRadioNetwork.com, 12 noon Eastern time, Saturday and Sunday, StarcomRadioNetwork.com. Or you can go to this webpage here, the TanTalk1340.com, and go to podcasts and go down to Go Yard. Last week's show will be there, and tonight's show will be up within a few hours. So, in fact, our engineers are very good about getting the shows up very quickly. So, anyway, with all of that said, there's no excuse for people not going back and catching things they've missed, because usually we do series, don't we?
Yes, we do.
A lot of times. So, okay, we're talking about shame-based thinking. Talk to us, doctor.
So kind of we identified some of those types of shame-based thinking that
right.
someone might be experiencing. So when we talk about shame-based thinking, I'm going to give it to you in an analogy. It's kind of like an onion.
Okay.
It's multi-layered.
All right.
Which is why it's a process to get back out. It's kind of like peeling that onion back layer by layer
by layer.
It takes some time. So it's something that exists on more than one level when we have shame-based thoughts. You know, we can make those exhaustive lists of our faults very quickly.
Right.
When we're stuck in that shame base. We're adding the message that our faults are permanent. And that's where it becomes that identity. This is permanent. It can't change.
Do
that's
people really
lie.
Think that, doctor? Or do they just, because their behavior dictates that they think that? Or are there really thoughts going on in shame-based thinking? This I'm never going to change. This is permanent. That is how they think.
This is who I am. This is just how it's going to be.
Okay.
I'm garbage. Nobody's ever going to love me. This is how it's going to be. And because they're thinking and feeling that way, they find relationships that further make that true.
Okay.
And then it becomes that self-fulfilling prophecy because that's what they're looking for.
And I have found that a lot of these people are kind of inward turned. This is just my opinion. You can correct me because you're the expert. But it seems like they don't communicate well. They may show some very negative emotions, but they're not able to really communicate what they're feeling very well. It's like they're kind of stuck somewhere.
Absolutely. And there is a lot of internalization that happens shame. And
yeah.
so what they do, and we talked about it last week, they put on that ideal self, what they want everyone to think they are. So they have that persona, that mask that we talked about. So they don't want you to see what's really under all of that.
Exactly. I had a friend this week talking to me about somebody that she knew very well, that she stumbled upon this person's Facebook profile or whatever it is. And she thought, who is this that she's writing about? And all of those things that this person said she was, every single one she wasn't. She didn't like to go to the beach. She didn't like this. She didn't like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so often I think this is common for people that have these problems. They want everybody to think they are this, but they are not. They are that.
Absolutely. So they make these like false illusions of who they are.
Yes. And I said to this person, does this person think she's this? She goes, oh yeah, she's told me she's all this.
It can be frustrating. You know, and you brought up social media, and I want to make a point with shame-based thinking, because a lot of shame-based thinkers fall in this trap with social media that when somebody posts something, a quote, maybe they go on a soapbox about something, they think it's about them.
Okay.
All of these posts have to be about me. Oh, she must be writing that about me. She must be writing. And, you know, it gets frustrating because I'm like, do you really think that...
You must have clients that say that to you.
Power. I hear it all the time.
That you have that much power?
Look what they wrote about me. I'm like, what makes this about you?
Right. Right.
You know, so, you know, and I'm like, if this is really about you, well, let's call the person up and let's talk about it. And it's not. It might just been something random that happened in another part of their life or whatever.
Right.
Most of the time it's not. But they internalize.
So you're saying that the shame-based thinking is powerful.
Yes.
It's got a lot of power in affecting the daily happiness and joy and peace that people live in.
Absolutely.
Or should live in.
Yes, it's very powerful. We talked about it. It's the glasses that change how we perceive everything. So what happens is when we do have success or we have skills, we discount it. We automatically just discount that.
Right.
Oh, it was just luck. Had nothing to do with the fact that I earned, you know, this degree and worked hard to get there. No, I must have just been lucky. That's why that happened.
Right.
Because I'm not good. I'm no good. You know, and all these shame-based thoughts start coming out. And so we don't want to discount our skills.
Don't shame-based thinkers think everything is this, the sky is falling, like Chicken Little, remember all that?
Oh, yeah.
Chicken Little, the sky is falling, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Or the little boy that cried wolf all the time. Don't shame-based thinkers continually see the worst outcome that could possibly happen in their lives?
They do.
That's been my experience. And this is going to happen, and then that's going to happen, and then that's going to happen.
So everything is doom and gloom.
Doom and gloom.
And they are looking for doom and gloom, so they find the negative in everything.
Right.
So individuals who have shame, who are shame-based, will find, if there's nothing negative, can find the negative. It was funny. It could be a beautiful sunny day, and you'll go, oh, isn't it a beautiful sunny day with a nice little crisp wind? And they're like, oh, you could get sun cancer today.
Yeah.
I'm like,
really?
They just can't accept. It's okay.
Okay.
They just focus on that negative. They can be really rigid. Shame-based people. They can be really rigid in the rules that they have for how other people should behave.
Not for how they should behave, though.
Well, they already feel like they don't live up to those rules and expectations.
So
they can be very critical. So usually they're the ones on Facebook who are like posting these really rigid responses to things about, oh, these people are awful because X, Y, Z, or they can be highly judgmental and critical.
Whoa. All right. So are they perfectionistic in their own lives? Or they want everybody else to be perfect?
Well, they try to be perfect. They have there is that prey of perfectionism, but they're not, and they fall short, and they know it. So they're trying to hide it. So I can take attention off of me and my shortcomings if I put it over on someone else.
Uh-huh.
And their shortcomings.
Okay.
And so that's what happens when we're based in shame. So we're always, you know, putting it on somebody else.
Because they see their own faults in others? Is that part of the deal?
Could be that. Could be a lot of things.
Okay. So basically they're rigid a lot of times and perfectionistic and expect everybody to toe a certain line and meet up to certain standards that they themselves cannot meet up to?
Absolutely they do.
Right.
And so, and if I'm feeling like I am worthless or I am less than, I don't want you to see that. I have a mask. I'm trying to cover it up.
Oh, yeah.
But if I can get you to look over here
exactly.
at someone else, oh,
right.
can you believe she got pregnant? She's not even married. Oh, my gosh.
Right.
Well, then you're not looking at them. And
right.
that's the game. It's a game that they have to play.
Oh. How do we overcome shame-based thinking, Doctor? We have a few minutes to do this. If anybody wants to call in and be involved in this conversation and ask a question, you can do that by doing 727-77-441-3000. That was my own fax number I was giving. 727-441-3000. So if you want to get involved, call in. Okay, go ahead. How do we overcome shame-based thinking, Doctor?
Well, the good news is we can overcome it.
We can.
We can. It's totally overcomeable.
We got to ring the bell on that. We can overcome shame-based thinking.
So that's the hope.
All right.
That we can do this. We may not be able to do it alone.
Right.
Some people can. Some people need extra help. Usually we need someone to help hold us accountable because we won't even realize we're doing it ourselves sometimes.
So we need somebody to say, wait a minute, that what you just said there.
And help challenge us.
Mm-hmm.
Because shame-based thinking is based in negative misconceptions. We need people to challenge us with truth sometimes.
Challenge us with truth. And in fact, overcoming shame has a lot to do with lies versus truth. That's
Absolutely.
What I'm hearing you say tonight.
Absolutely.
Lies versus truth.
And we believe these lies and we go running with them and they become our identity, and we totally are ignoring really what the truth is.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to change that. So the first step to overcoming is be willing to challenge shame-based thoughts and replace them with the truth.
Wow. So step one out there, audience, be willing to recognize this in yourself. Go back over last week's show and this week's show and go over some of these things. Write them down. See if that's where you are and be willing to deal with it. Because unless you're like 106, I mean, and
even if you're 106,
and even if you're under six, yeah. We just have somebody at nursing home ministry where we are, and she turned 107 a couple
Aww.
Weeks ago, and that was pretty cool. So, you know, yeah, no matter how old you are
you're
is the point.
You're
never too
old.
Never too old. That's right. Okay.
So how do I find the truth?
Okay.
Well, Dr. Angel, you want me to have the truth. How do I find it?
Right.
Is this thought really true? Might be the first question. So when you say, oh, nobody loves me. Is this thought true? Is there somebody in your life that you can say, I believe loves me? Sometimes we need to see it physically and make a list.
I was going to say, don't you think a lot of times these thoughts just randomly are there? Or maybe they're in your mind or in your whatever, in a kind of a almost subconscious? Not entirely subconscious, but I mean, kind
yes,
of in
it
a,
can be that way.
Kind of like in the back seat.
True.
You know what I mean?
But when we're starting to look for them,
when
we highlighted
them,
what
yes.
these thoughts will start looking like.
Yeah.
And I think we gave a pretty good overall, I mean, that's not exhaustive list, but it was a good encompassing list. So if you start feeling like some of those things, look at, is this really true?
Right.
How do I know it's true?
Oh, wow. That's a good one. If you're writing these down, the first one is this thought really true? Second one, how do I know it's true?
How do I know it's true? And sometimes we need someone else to kind of help us with it. And mm-hmm. that's fine. That's totally acceptable.
And actually good.
Yeah.
Feedback back and forth.
It's a support person.
Yes.
Someone to help hold you accountable. Someone to kind of help partner with you through this. Usually we don't get into shame by ourselves. So to have someone help us come back out is totally acceptable.
And good.
Strengthening part of the process. So,
right.
What evidence do I have that this is true?
Okay.
That's a big question I'll ask individuals in therapy. Give me the evidence that you can't succeed at any. Where's your evidence? They don't usually
what
have
do they
very
say
good
usually?
Evidence
they,
for me.
Yeah.
But that's how we
oh,
find
I
truth.
Oh, I lost this job 10 years ago or whatever, right? Okay.
True. And then they discount all the other successes that they've had in the last 10 years
right.
or whatever's happened. So where's my evidence? So let's start for evidence. So
okay.
if you're not sure what you're thinking or feeling is true, let's give it the truth examination.
Right.
So we're going to kind of be little shame detectives for ourselves.
Right. Okay.
What is the evidence against this thought? So what makes this thought true? What makes this thought false?
Right.
Find evidence. Evidence means it's, you know, objective, observable, tangible. That's evidence. Not because
right.
I think so.
Right.
That's not evidence.
Right.
You know, think of a police when they're doing an investigation, you know,
right.
they're looking for tangible. Did someone see this? Do we have fingerprints? Those are the kinds of things we're looking for to uncover the truth for us.
Exactly.
Is evidence in that
So
way.
We're talking about some serious thinking and meditating and pondering and journaling. And we're not talking about just a fleeting thought that runs through your head. We're talking about work, homework.
True, because shame is probably one of the deepest
hardest
emotion
to break.
We can
I agree.
Have.
I agree.
And we have to get down deep.
Yeah.
And it takes some time. It's the onion. Give yourself time.
And you know, you're a therapist. We highly recommend finding a good therapist or somebody that you can trust and talk to, a friend,
Absolutely.
A relative, a spouse. And make progress and keep your progress notes on what you're dealing with, don't you think?
Absolutely. I love I have a lot of patients. We use, you know, journaling through therapy. And so they have homework assignments during the week and they bring it back in and we keep adding to it. And so it becomes this living, breathing guide journey through this journey with what they're going through.
Yes.
Can I think of times when this thought has not been true?
Ah, that's a good question to ask yourself.
Was there ever a time where I felt successful or whatever it is that you're trying to go against?
Right.
With shame. Is this thought helping me or hurting me? Ooh, big one.
Yeah.
So if I think nobody loves me, is that helping me or hurting me?
Right.
We don't always see how it's hurting us. Shame hurts us. Shame hurts our physical health. Shame hurts our mental health. Shame hurts our success in life. Hurts our relationships. Shame hurts us in all aspects of our life.
Wow.
Who would I be if I let this thought go? What would my life be like if I didn't have the shame?
To have somebody really sit and ponder that, how would I be different? How would my life be different if I did not constantly have this deal with shame? Good,
absolutely. Good question. We do a lot of exercises like that in therapy. If you woke up tomorrow and you didn't have this, what would it look like? What would you look like? How would you know?
What do they answer? I mean, a lot of times, is it like I feel happier?
Could be. All kinds of stuff comes out. And then when they really start thinking about it, that's where we can get down to work.
Right.
And so this is like the working phase of this. What could I do if I let this thought go?
Wow. Okay.
Where could I accomplish? What could I do? Mm-hmm. What goals could I be working toward? Am I willing to let this thought go?
Right. Now that's the big question, don't you think? Because in all of this, where we're coming out of such a serious problem as shame-based thinking, people have to get to a fork in the road where they are willing to take a new path and a new direction and let it go, because those thoughts become, it's almost like they're second nature to them, right?
They are very second nature to them.
And that's normal. Their normal.
It is normal. So what happens when we're trying to learn a new way, a new pattern of thinking, it's kind of like relating it to a language. So shame, their shame-based thoughts is like their primary language. It's kind of like their English.
Okay.
So as they're learning not to have the truth and that are not shame-based thoughts, that's like a secondary language. It's kind of like their Spanish. So
right.
When you speak English first and Spanish is your second language, everything you hear comes into what? English.
Well, and then what it should, but when I start speaking Spanish a lot, for me personally, then I start thinking in Spanish.
The more you do it, right?
When I was in Mexico in February, I was amazed that after like only 2 days, because I'm speaking it all the time, I'm suddenly dreaming in Spanish, or I'm waking up and I'm thinking in Spanish, because it has kind of become my norm for that period of time.
True. So when you're in your Spanish 1 class, uh-huh. and you're starting to learn Spanish, you always think, oh, blue, oh, azul. It
right.
comes first in English, and then
Ooh,
you translate.
You know that word.
I
yes.
did know that. Aren't you impressed?
I am.
But as you do it more, you made my point. As you do it more, that second language can become your first language.
Can. It can.
Absolutely.
And it has for me. Believe me, audience, that works, what she's talking about. But it takes concentrated effort. It's not something
practice. Yes.
I mean, if I would have awakened in Mexico and said, I'm going to speak English, I don't care if they get me or not, or understand it or not. No. No,
it would have been effective.
Right.
It wouldn't have been a visit worthwhile for you.
But don't you think that a lot of people get so entrenched in their shame-based thinking, doctor, that it's almost like they want to hang on to it because it's theirs, you know?
Yep.
This is the way I think. This is who I am.
It's my identity. It's who I am. It's not going to change. That's the end of the story. And some people refuse to go work through it and change it. And it's really sad because they live a very sad life. And it's less than, and they're miserable, and everyone around them usually has, you know, pain from that.
And you may not agree with this, but it's been my observation that people that struggle with this the most are very depressive. They seem depressed. They seem down.
All the time.
They seem like they're not happy. The joy's not there.
Yes. And so some people just aren't willing to let go. And so that's the question. Are you willing to let go? Release that thought. And this is the one I love to challenge people with, is what's the worst thing that could happen if you let the shame-based thought go? What's the worst thing that could happen?
Hmm.
If you let's just say for 1 minute, instead of thinking you were garbage, you thought you had a value.
Right.
What's the worst thing that could happen?
Wow.
And can you live with that? And usually it's something really positive because shame is so toxic.
Right.
But I like to challenge that.
Yeah. Do you get much response on that?
I get all kinds. And it's funny because you'll watch people as the lights come on. And
yes.
They're just,
yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Right.
And as we keep working through this, and each shame-based feeling we have, we work through that same process. Is this true? How do I know it's true? What's the evidence? And we
right.
keep working through each feeling
wow.
until we've started replacing it with that truth.
Exactly. So it's a process, and
it's
you're replacing it with the truth. It is, I think the metaphor for like English and Spanish or two languages is pretty good, because as you're beginning to learn a language, you begin to think.
You start thinking in that language,
and
but in the beginning,
you didn't.
You're still thinking in that first. Everything comes through.
Right.
And then you can start thinking it as you do it more and hear it more and practice
right.
it more. Shame is the same way. Shame to not shame. The more you hear the truth messages, that will start becoming your primary language.
Wow.
And you know what? If you really solidly work on this, you will notice in not a super long period of time that your whole thought process will be different. Your whole life will be different. You want to see a 180? Work through
wow.
shame. You
wow.
won't even be the same person.
You know, if our audience would really understand that shame is, you use the word toxic, and I like that word. It toxic is poison.
Yes.
Toxic is dangerous. Toxic is bad. Toxic is not going to help you. It's going to hurt you. If people would realize that to live in shame-based thinking is toxic to every part of their
Yes.
to their job, to their family
Every
life,
their
life. Spouse, their children, their grandchildren, it carries through. So often we think that as we get older, we're just going to come out of some of that. And you want to answer that?
It doesn't just go away.
It does not.
It doesn't. And it is the baggage that if we move away, we take it with us. So many people just want to pick up and have a new life somewhere else, thinking that all this shame is just going to stay behind. No, no, we take shame with us.
Right.
It's inside of us. It goes everywhere we go.
Boy, that is such a huge point, Doctor, because for those of you out there that think that a geographical cure is the answer, it's not. It's dealing with the stuff that's on the inside.
Absolutely. And there's an amazing amount of people who I have worked with personally who have decided a geographical was going to make a difference. And then they did it. And then they realized, I still feel like crap.
Right.
How? Why? And that's usually by the time I get them. And it's because it's inside of you.
Right.
Everywhere you go, shame
right.
goes.
And a lot of times people will change all kinds of aspects of their lives, their job. Their spouse,
mm-hmm.
whatever, always blaming. In my opinion, it's been my observation, there's a lot of blaming others for what they feel.
Absolutely. So we're a lot of shame-based people are looking outside for what's causing this negative feeling.
Right.
So they're always looking outside for that blame. Working through overcoming shame, we really need to have self-compassion.
You know, and I know we've got a lot to talk about on self-compassion. I think we need to kind of take this into next week
All
and
right.
do a little bit more with that whole thing of self-compassion, because, you know, we didn't get here overnight.
No.
The people that struggle with shame-based thinking didn't get there overnight. So getting out of it is a process, as we talked about. And I think that it's not going to hurt us to do another week of really talking about the positive things that can be done to overcome this. Because we've been identifying the problem for two
yes,
weeks.
Yes, we have.
And I would really like to do a whole show, with your permission, Doctor, that we come back next week and do a whole show on overcoming this and not just identifying it. I think we've covered in these two shows, we've covered
yes.
identifying it and deciding, yeah, that's me, I need to work on it. But I'd like to do one more show in this series.
All right.
And really concentrate on how to overcome. What steps do I need to make? What do I need to do? We've covered a lot of that, but I think we can talk a lot about self-compassion and what that means and how to translate that into our daily lives. And, you know, we've got like 3 minutes left, and I don't think it's enough time to make this.
I agree
do
with
you.
Self-compassion is big, but it's going to be a step to overcoming shame.
It is.
So kind of to give back a review.
If yes, let's do a review.
If you're shame-based thinking, if you're caught in that negative thinking, overcoming it, you need to be willing to challenge your shame-based thoughts,
right,
and replace them.
Replace
so
them.
So am I willing?
And I think that's a huge question. And if you out there are one of these, or have recognized some of your traits over the last week or two that we've been talking about this, I think Dr. Angel's question is extremely important. Are you willing to make the changes? Because you can come out of this. I think that's the message of hope tonight. You can change the way you think, the way you perceive your life, the way you think about your successes and your failures, the way you present to other people, the way you challenge or don't challenge yourself in life, the way you have good relationships or bad relationships. You
or
can
who
change.
You choose to be in relationships with.
Exactly, because don't you think that has a lot? Mm-hmm. Oh, let's talk about that next week. Yeah, who do you
but
choose?
When we are shame-based, it really does impact every aspect of our life.
Yes.
To if you're getting sick all the time, your immune system's taking a hit. Shame.
Yes.
And you know, when I talk to patients, I'm like, shame is like having an IV and you're pumping a poison into your body all the time.
Wow.
It's an IV of poison. Do you want to keep that poison going? Because it's just going to keep breaking everything down. Or do we want to pull out the IV, stop the flow of poison,
right,
and start pumping in the healthy stuff?
Exactly. And, yeah, that's the question. And so, you know, you've got a little bit of time to listen to this show and last week's again, because I can't emphasize enough the importance of going back and hearing things again and taking notes. And my kids grew up with me saying, take good notes all through school. Take good notes, because we remember a lot of things that we hear, but I don't know what the statistic is on that. You probably do. But the things we write down and go back over and meditate on, think on, they've got to play a bigger part
in
our lives.
And the more senses we use to learn something, the better we learn it.
The more senses we use.
The more of your senses you're seeing, touching.
Yeah, right.
So when we're taking notes, we're hearing it, we're seeing it, we're touching it, we're using more of our senses.
So we encourage you, go back to last week's show, which is right here, www.tantalk1340.com. Go to the podcast page, go down to Go Yard, and it is there from last week. This show will be up, Knowing Pete, within a few hours. Okay, in 2 minutes. He just said 2 minutes. All right, it'll be up in just a little while. So you do the same thing. You go to www.tantalk1340.com, podcast page, Go Yard. All right, so it's been a great show, and we're going to finish it up next week, this series, and then we'll move on to a new topic. But Dr. Angel, it is always a joy to be in this room with you and to share, and I believe change lives.
Change lives. That's it. That's what we're all about.
Woo! All right. Final thought?
Final thought is, are you willing to change those shame-based thoughts with the truth?
With the truth. This has been Mama Mac and
Dr. Angel,
the famous one, right here on Go Yard. And we will see you again next week at this time, 6:06 p.m. Tampa Bay time, Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern, StarcomRadioNetwork.com. See you next week.
Good night. I reset my life, take two. Oh, Lord, have mercy.